Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
He's able to subdue even all things unto himself. And we're going to be caught up and go up to meet him in the air. Man, we'll have a meet and greet with our family. We talked about that this morning. Then go to the reward seat of Christ. I mean, we don't hear a lot of preaching on that, but it's not the judgment seat. That's a mistranslation. And he wants to bless you. But he will analyze your works. Your sin's not going to be judged. It was already laid on Jesus. But he's going to analyze your works of how valuable it is. And really, it exposes a pride. If you did works to be cool, he's going to get rid of that right there on the judgment seat. It's going to be kaboof. And you don't want a bonfire at the reward seat of Christ. You don't want people going, oh my God, back up. What's this going to be like? Oh, woof. You don't want people talking about it for 10, 15 years. Did you see so-and-so's bonfire? Oh my God. No, it'll just get off those things. The Bible says the day will declare it. What you've done for him will preach for you right there. Wow. And it won't be a scary thing. It'll be a wonderful thing to go into the marriage supper of the Lamb with nothing holding you back, where you're clean. You're clean and holy because he made you clean and holy, but he's going to even take care of attitudes right there at the reward seat of Christ. Wow. I know this, you know, being on end time so many years, he just loves to remind you how much he loves you, that he's not frustrated with you. I don't know that Lucifer, I mean, most Christians don't even need any kind of condemnation. We got enough on our own, you know what I mean? It's just a lie of the enemy to always feel like you've done something wrong. Well, you haven't. You did the right thing. You chose him. Hallelujah. Man, what an event when you got him asking your heart. I mean, there'll be the books, and we see all the books in heaven, and all the books of remembrance, and then all the books of people's works and everything. I wonder how many times it'll be where you worshiped him and said, Lord, I love you, I honor you, I bless you. It'll be cool to see how that measures up. Amen. Yeah. And we won't be competing against each other. I mean, like when you see John Wesley's robe, you know, when the millennium, you don't go, oh, man, I wish I had a robe like that. You'll go, check that out. I believe they'll be stitching right here showing that you were here on Sunday nights. They'll be stitching right here showing you went on Wednesday nights. They'll be stitching right here showing that you were a soul winner. Just like in the military, the badges mean something. It's called fruit. They preach. When you see a guy with a purple heart, you know he got wounded and still there. I mean, he's still alive. So all of those badges, I wish I knew what they all meant because this blesses me. But that's what you're going to do. Your robe will have all that on it. John Wesley, he said, give me 10 men that hate sin and love God and I will change the world. Whew. Remember that minister that was over in South Africa preaching for years and got 500 some odd churches built in South Africa, and he's on his way back by ship. This is in the 20s. And there was an actor that had been on a safari, and there's this huge ticker tape parade at the boat for that actor coming back from safari. Like an entrance, like, welcome back to America after your safari. And that preacher said, you know, Lord, I've been away from my family for months and years and started all these churches, and there's nobody here to meet me. The Lord says, because you're not home yet. So we're blessed, but we're going to a whole different animal, man. It's going to be like, woo, praise God. So you'll be glad that you stayed extra. You'll be glad that you put your heart into it. You'll be glad that you gave it extra effort, because oftentimes we think no one sees that, but he does.
That's so good.
And he loves you. He wants to bless you for that. So grab your Bibles. Turn wherever you think you ought to turn. We'll see if you're flowing. Praise the Lord. We'll just see. Hallelujah. Go to, let's go to John. This morning we talked about the signs. I know we've heard a lot about the signs. Turn to John chapter 14. And what are the signs for? They're not to scare you. They're to prepare you. I've never been on a freeway and saw signs that said, you know, my exit. Same with my exit's 240. And I'm on a sign right for that's 238 and 239. I don't get to those and go, oh, what am I going to do? No, I exit. I know, you know, so we're getting ready to leave. So we got all these signs showing us where we are, which is really sweet of the Lord because he gave us so many. And there's so many that are just blatant that it's like, wow, that is crazy. But it's exciting for us because what he meant with all of that is to lift up your heads. Yes. Don't be downtrodden. So the whole thought pattern about the coming of the Lord is to have zero sadness, absolute joy. And that's why I compare it to getting married. How many of you were sad the night before you got married? Oh, tomorrow's the day. My God, what am I going to do? No, I'd hope you were happy. Well, that went over real good. Good night, everybody. Once again, drive safely. So it's about the attitude of joy. The whole thought pattern about the coming of the Lord is to accelerate and for you to have great joy, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Hard to accelerate if you have no joy. hard to accelerate if you have no joy. So joy will propel you all the way up to the coming of the Lord. Now, why would he think like that? Because he wants you blessed. Yeah. He doesn't want you running going, oh, man, I could have been running 15 more miles an hour. No, let's max it out. So, you know, I always tell a couple of stories, then I get right into the John 14, but I was preaching in Murrieta, California. I hadn't moved out there. Collie and I moved out there to travel out of a church for a few years ago, and didn't know why, because it was a hassle to fly from California all the way across the country. And it just takes all day. But the Lord just kind of led us to, and no lightning flash move to California, because I specifically hope nobody's from California, don't get mad. I don't know. So it's just too many cars. You know, it's just too busy. But I knew I was supposed to do that. So when I got there, a man met me. We went to go have coffee at Starbucks. And this is what he said to me. This is a pastor's friend. He said, you know, the strength that you feel when you come into our church, it's me. I said, excuse me? I said, I think it's Jesus. And this guy tried to take over the church. So I tried to protect the pastor while this guy's losing his mind. I mean, can you imagine saying that to me out loud? The strength that you feel when you come into our church, it's me. I'd be like, McFly, you want to just kind of snap, pop you on the head. But I was out there doing a Gifts of the Spirit class before we moved there. Brother David had me come out to do, I think, Sunday through Wednesday on Gifts of the Spirit. And one of the nights I was preaching, and I had a word of knowledge that somebody had a cut, almost like varicose veins or damage in their vein. I said, but it's not varicose veins. In fact, I said, it looks like somebody hit you. In fact, I said, it looks like somebody hit you with a tube before. And this man yelled out in the church, damn. He screamed this cuss word, and I was like, what? He goes, that's me. He was at a Home Depot in Murrieta, California. These boards fell off this deal, hit him in the back of the leg. I didn't know this until just the other day. He kept cussing coming down. I couldn't hear him because everybody was laughing so hard. So he not only cussed when I called it out, he cussed all the way down to the front. So the Lord's so amazing, he'll heal you right while you're cussing in church. There were some professional golfers that were there from the Nike Tour. That's just the tour below the PGA Tour, like a springboard for the PGA Tour. And a buddy of mine had invited them all there. They'd never been in a Holy Ghost church, never been in a service like that. And it was one of those kind of deals where I think God demonstrated for them. Because the next thing that happened was there was a man that was on dialysis. I didn't know this. He was a drug addict. He was a bad person to get a transplant. And he was all bowed over, just looked like he was going to die. I said, hey, get up. He wouldn't look at me. I said, look at me, buddy. He wouldn't look. And I know he wasn't feeling good or whatever. You know, he really about to die. So I got on the floor, got underneath him. So I could look at him and I said, hey. I said, healed people ought to get up and walk. And he got up and started doing the chicken and the swan. He started going across the front like this. And I didn't know what was wrong with him. So I said, hey, man, I'm glad you're healed. How cool. And then they came up and said, no, he's supposed to die. Because they wouldn't do dialysis because he has a drug problem. It's not good to have a new kidney. So here the golfers got to see a guy cuss, got to see a guy get up that's about to die. And there were several other things. I can't even remember. There were several things that I thought, man, that's crazy that all happened. But the Lord is demonstrating to them different things about his mercy, about his kindness. I've had meetings where I would go in and call words of knowledge out years ago, and I would always call people down. And I can think of one at Chris Romine's church, maybe 9 or 10 people. I'd say, there's a man here, you got prostate cancer. And I'd wait, nobody come down. I said, all right, I'll show you who it is. I said, this guy right here. He goes, I just got diagnosed with prostate cancer. I said, there's a lady here, you got arthritis in your tailbone. Come down, nobody come down. I said, all right, I'll show you who it is. I walk down like that. Says, this lady right here. She goes, I got diagnosed today. Another one was someone had scratched their lens on their eye, and I called it out, and nobody moved. So I'm speeding this up because I went and sat down because they wouldn't come down. I just go like this. I go, I don't have anywhere to be, so this is what I do for a living, so I'll just wait on you. And then nobody come down. I said, okay. I walked over there, said, I'll show you who it is, this lady right here. She goes, I just got diagnosed today with scratches on my lens. And I've done that quite a few times, but it's always for people that are visitors. Oh. It's like God's reaching out to people to show them he's alive. Because, you know, a visitor might come into this Holy Spirit church and go, this is a crazy place, because we're happy. Yeah. Yeah. Aren't we happy? All right. So I want to get into some things tonight that show you kind of a platform for what we'll see just before we're raptured. We know the number one thing of that is steadfastness. There's 6 times when the Bible talks about the rapture of the church, there's a word connected with it, and steadfastness. Don't be moved from your own steadfastness. How can you move from somewhere if you've never been there in the first place? Let that sink in just a little bit. How can you move from a place that you've never been in the first place? Now, what place is that? That you're so strong that nothing moves you. I'll give you an example, because I got a lot to get into, but I love that it comes to me. My mom, before she got a hold of the word, we're talking like 1969, she's afraid of everything. We'd go to the lake, and she'd put 3 or 4 belt life jackets on me. And I'd go, Mom, this is not cool. I look like the Michelin man. I swear to God. I'd get on the boat, and everybody else is cutting and doing all the ski, and I'm walking out there like this. Because she was just, she dominated by fear. She would have thought, if I put this microphone on, the battery's going to explode, and it'll melt your face down in fervent heat. And I'm like, no, Mom, the battery's not going to melt me go into fervent heat. She just was paranoid. Got a hold of the word. It changed her. She went from being like that to having steadfastness. I remember right after she got a hold of the word, I had a wreck on my bike. I cut my face. I had this ramp built on our driveway. Straight up over the ramp, hit face first on this concrete, tore my face wide open, all the way up into my nose. I go walking back up into the house. My sister Marla's playing the piano, and my mom walks up and goes, because my lips are flapping all over, blood's going everywhere. And my mom goes, don't bleed on the carpet. We got prayer meeting tonight. She didn't care if I bled, just don't bleed right here. You can bleed, but bleed over there, because we got people coming over, they got to walk right here. Now, in the past, she would have passed out, and I would have had to raise her up myself. But that's what the word will do to you. Make you stable. Make you stable. Make you fearless. There's a spirit of faith about it. A spirit of dominion about it. But I could tell you my mom's stories all day long. You'd be like, that is crazy. But you know, all the people that mocked her and made fun of her in 1980 when she got baptized in the Holy Ghost, they always call her for prayer for healing. All those people that mocked her, made fun of her, they call her night and day, will you pray for so-and-so? Will you pray for so-and-so? Because when you have a dominion spirit about you, you get results. So let's look at these two things we can look at that we can get ready to function in, okay? So go to John chapter 14, and it's so good the whole chapter, but I'm going to skip down to verse 8, and we'll run through some verses. In verse 8 of John 14, Philip said unto the Lord, show us the Father, and it'll suffice us. In other words, everybody's still wanting to see God. Let me see God, and this is all cool. And Jesus said, wait. Have I been so long time with you, yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Wow. Believest thou not that I'm in the Father, and the Father's in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. Now get ready for this one. But the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Now the Lord's going to repeat himself here in just a minute, but this is pretty powerful. I remember hearing Brother Hagin say this, and I was kind of like, yeah, what? He said, Jesus never healed anybody while he walked on the earth. He said, my Father that dwells in me, he does the works. Because we attributed everything in Jesus' life just because he's Jesus. No, didn't do anything till when he was 25. Didn't do any miracles when he was 20. Didn't do any miracles when he was 29. He didn't do any miracles till he turned 30 and the Holy Spirit came on him when he came up out of that river. So he functioned as a man. He stripped himself. He emptied himself. Hang with me. Emptied himself. And that's why Jesus is saying right here, I'm in my Father, my Father's in me. When you see the Lord repeat himself, well, you need to pay attention. Why is he repeating himself? He's not stupid. He's repeating himself because he wants us to get it. Now watch. Verse 10. Believest thou not that I'm in the Father, and the Father's in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. And then he goes, believe me that I'm in the Father, and the Father's in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. If you can't grasp that God's in me, look at the miracles, and it should wake you up to the fact that something's on the inside of you different than everybody else. When Nicodemus went to him, what's the first thing he said? Nicodemus goes to him, okay, he wants to know how he's doing all the miracles. What did Jesus say? Wow. Think about it. The verse we use for salvation is what he used. You must be born again. Being born from above gives you access to tangible glory. That was Jesus' answer. How are you doing all these miracles? I'm saved. He said it again. That's basically what he said. We would say, how are you doing all this if God lives in me? I was telling Pastor, I was getting these mice out of my, I only had one this year, out of my garage. Because, you know, I live on 10 acres, and they want to come where it's warm, so they'll come try to sneak in. And I put those pads out like that where they get their legs stuck, you know. Colleen can't stand that. But anyway, there was one in there that had been dead for months, I guess. And so I grabbed it by the little pan, and as I was walking, I made sure that my finger didn't touch that mouse because I didn't want to raise it from the dead. Come on. I consciously was like, oh, be careful not to touch that mouse because I got something on the inside of me that will make it come alive.
Come on.
Now, see, John Lake, when he was over in South Africa, he would get up in front of the mirror and say, God lives in this man. God lives in this man. God lives in this man. And then they got to talking to him. Wait a minute. How are your nurses not getting sick? He said, well, look, put it on the microscope. And they put the plague or whatever that stuff was on the microscope. He got near it, touched the edge of the plate, and the stuff started dying. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes you free from the law of sin and death. So here Jesus is talking about, I'm in him, he's in me. I'm in him, he's in me. I'm in him, he's in me. I'm so much in him that everything I even say comes from him. Amen. You can tell who people hang around when you listen to them talk. I mean, Jesus is basically saying the right thing because he's saying what the Father said. Can't go wrong with that, can you? So that's not what I'm getting into, but we're going to get to what I'm getting into. This is the appetizer as we get into it, okay? Verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do because I go unto my Father. Well, that's pretty radical. I was telling the pastor the other day, I was in Corpus Christi, Texas in 1992, and here Jesus is talking about duplicating his ministry. In other words, just as he's come to show people who the Father is, he goes, I'm going to send you out to show people who I am. So I'm in Corpus Christi in 1992 on this Sunday, and the Sunday morning service was so dead and so flat as a pancake, I was mad. Went back to my hotel and said, Lord, you want to do something in the service tonight? Knock yourself out. I ain't going to do nothing. And that was the wrong attitude, obviously, right? So I'm not saying you should do that. I'm just saying I was mad because I'm thinking, I'm not on the road all the time. I don't have good services. It was just flat as a pancake. And I probably said something that offended somebody or probably said something I shouldn't say. I don't know because I was so bold back then, it scared me. But, you know, I've tempered myself a little bit. So I watched Fred Couples win the Masters, man. It was awesome. 1992, right there, I watched the whole thing. So it got time to come to the service. I'm thinking, you know, I haven't studied. I usually, like, I listen to music today. I pray in tongues, walk, get my heart ready. And so got ready to go to the service, you know. I'm thinking, man, I haven't prayed or anything. Got there, standing there. Jim Harris is the pastor's name. He had a wooden podium about the exact size of this. I'm standing over here like this. All of a sudden, the presence of God comes in. Look over there, and Jesus is standing on the second step up just like this. White robe, burgundy sash. I'd seen him a couple times before where it was all love, like he's non-critiquing, absolute, can't do anything wrong. And he screams at me, tell them! I did miracles as a man. Tell them! I walked on the water as a man. And he said again, tell them I cast out devils, not as a man, not as a God, but as a man. He said, tell them, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. And Pastor Jim's laying on the floor freaking out. He jumps up and goes, Jesus wants us to know that he did it all as a man. So for you to duplicate his works, you know what he did? He authorized you in Luke 9, authorized you in Luke 10. How long did it take people to function like Jesus? Instantaneous. Yeah. Okay, so we're going to get somewhere. So Jesus said, I want you to do what I'm doing, but then he doesn't stop right there. He keeps going, and we're going to get to how we're going to do it. Because he doesn't just tell you to do it. He shows you how. So he says in verse 13, whatever you'll ask in my name, that will I do. And wait a minute, Corpus Christi, you know what Corpus Christi means? Body of Christ. So you see, that is for the body of Christ, not for that one service. That Jesus did things as a man. Oh, the devil hates that. That's just too bad. Whatever you ask in my name, that I'll do. The Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. I love that Brother Hagin had all these Greek scholars that were around him, showed that verse to him, said, what does it really mean? The guy, the famous Greek scholar, said, if I don't have it, I'll create it. Amen. That's pretty cool. How'd you like to have the Lord tell you that? If I don't have it, I'll make it. I've seen three different people. One lady in Topeka, Kansas, had no finger like this. These fingers had one finger like this. These fingers were cut off. Watched her get new fingers. I watched a lady in Brandon, Florida, have no fingernails. I walked off, thought the service was over, and the Lord goes, fingernails. And I looked at my hands. I go, what's wrong with my fingernails? He goes, not you. And so I came back over there and said, hey, there's somebody here, you got damage in your fingernails. The lady started screaming. Came running down. She said, I told God all day today, I'm going to get my fingernails tonight. Brandon, Florida, got healed. I can tell you several more. Just fingernails. Things that we would consider as being like trivial, that's how much God loves you. Yes. Amen. So here we go. In other words, if I don't have it, I'll make it. He made some fingers for that lady. He made some fingernails for that one. I saw it look like white pearl swirls on her hands. By the time it was done, perfect fingernails. You talk about a manicure, glory to God, amen. Verse 14, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. If you keep my commandments, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Here we go. I'll pray the Father that he'll give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because he sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. So we've heard this 1,000 times. He's saying here, these are the two keys to functioning like Jesus. Number one, authorization. Whatever you demand in my name is done. Number one, authorization. Number two, presence. Okay? I'll pray the Father. He'll give you another comfort. He may what? Abide with you forever. So you got authorization and you got presence. You say, well, give me scripture and verse. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power.
The power side is the authority side. The Holy Ghost is the presence side. How was Jesus anointed? Two different ways. After he told you you'd do these works, he told you two keys to do those. Okay, if you dwell on those, it'll just work. And it's easy because the presence side is so cool. I like it. Jesus goes, hey, some of you boys won't even taste death until you see the kingdom come. What did he do? He took Peter, James, and John up on that mountain. All of a sudden, that kingdom began to radiate through his skin. His skin couldn't contain it. He began to glow. It began to come out of his hair. It made his hair look white like wool. Peter woke up and said, we need to build some churches, man. Come on. Anytime you see who the Lord really is, it'll make you want to build and plant and accelerate. Nothing about God says stand still. Come on. You can tell when God's told you to do something when you go, there's no way I can pull that off. That way he'll get all the glory. So here Jesus tells us the present side. I love it because he gets up there and shows them this kingdom coming out of him that knows no equal, knows no defeat. I mean, it only wins, period. Exodus 19, he said, put a fence around the mountain, lest they even get near to gaze at me and die. The mountain would vibrate. I've been up on a lot of mountains. The mountain didn't do nothing. Jesus gets up on the mountain, and the earth can't handle it. It starts shaking. Shake and bake, baby. It's better than frying. Well, here, let me tell you, you talk about crazy. I mean, that's that presence. Paul was stoned, left for dead. What'd they do? They gathered around him. He's raised from the dead. That's amazing. That's that present side. You say, well, give me the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8. Philip went down to the city of Samaria, preached Christ to them. The people with one accord gave heed to those things which Philip spake, both hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many that had palsies were healed, and there was great joy in the city. And then he said in verse 12 of that chapter, he said he preached about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus. Present side, authority side. Preach about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus. So you've got all this authority, and then you also are carrier of this glory. Yeah. So he basically gave you a couple different ways to function. So if you can't, now the authority side operates with you getting people to flow with you. See, people with Jesus' ministry, they came to hear him and be healed. The one time they questioned him, like, who do you think you are? You think you're the Son of God? He laid his hands on what? A few sick folk and healed them and marveled at their unbelief. So he didn't walk off mad. He sat down and taught them. So that power side has to have you accept it. Whereas that present side, sometimes it'll operate and you won't even know what's going on. It's kind of the sneaky way the Lord said, I'm going to get my presence into them and help them just because I can. And that present side, it would be the gifts of the Spirit. Or tangible anointing, or the glory of God. Yeah. And that gets into places, you know, I look at places and go, look how God's so nice to heal people when they're not even expecting it. I had a man in Columbia, South Carolina. I'd finished preaching, and I said, there's someone here, you got some kind of damage on the inside of your nose. It's like, it's torn and ripped. And I said, somebody's back is being healed, and their head's being healed. This guy, probably 6'5", come walking down. He said, can I say something? I was like, oh, here we go. Normally I wouldn't do it, but I could just tell I was okay. And he goes, hey, this is what he said. He goes, I don't know you. Real sweet. What a blessing. I don't know you, but my neck is healed, my back's healed. And my wife just texted me. She'd had brain surgery. They went up through her nasal passage and severed some of the inside of it. She hadn't been able to breathe. She said, when he called that out, my nose opened up. Praise God. She's not even in the building, gets healed.
Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
So that's that present side. So he even looked irritated that he got healed. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, whatever. I mean, so the Lord just loves you and wants to bless you and wants to help you. I'll give you one of the others, and I've got a bunch more to get into, but I'll give you one from Hartford, Connecticut. Now, a lot of times I'll tell you the pastor's name because I know people that don't think this stuff's real. Matt Nillette is the pastor's name. I had a word of knowledge that a guy had been in a car wreck. I said, you hurt your back, your neck. Notice a pattern in my life. It's tons of damage, not just disease. Car wrecks. I said, okay, there's a man here. Your back and your neck is getting healed right now. No problem. Finish the service. This young man came walking up to me, probably 30, 32, 33. He walks up and goes, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? I go, what are you talking about? He goes, I'm the guy that was in the car wreck. My neck is healed. My back's healed. I said, enjoy it. And he did, I guess, you know, he'd never been around that. His girlfriend walked up to us right then, and she said, the whole service he was talking about you, saying he's a con man. He's a con man. So he thinks I'm a con man, and the Lord reaches out and heals his neck and his back. Because his mercy endures forever. Okay? So we got this present side. So let's go look at it because I want to land on that for a little while. We're supposed to go to midnight. And pizza will be coming at midnight. And then we'll break. And then we'll come back in and we'll keep going. All right? Come on. Go over to 1 Corinthians. You guys are so cool. Thank you for coming tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's look at the present side, because the authority side is pretty... really, it just makes it all work, but it's amazing how the present side makes it get to people you'd never think it'd get to. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and look at verse 1. These are things you know, but I want to add some things to it. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Okay? Notice he said brethren, didn't say prophets, didn't say apostles. He's writing to the church at Corinth. Okay? To the church at Corinth, don't be misinformed about spiritual gifts. Now the word gifts is in italics there, isn't it? Is it in your italics in your Bible? That just means it was added to make what he was saying a little bit more sense, really. But I looked up the word spiritual in W. Vines. You know what it means? Some of the appointed activities of the Holy Ghost in the church. Now, concerning some of these activities, don't be misinformed. Because if you're misinformed about it, you'll back away. I mean, when I was a kid, I saw Catherine Kuhlman operate like this. You know, she'd go like this and pray over people. I thought, well, I'm not weird enough to be in the ministry. So, in other words, so you back away. So he's warning us to learn these things so we won't back away. We won't go, no, I'm not weird enough to operate in that. But he's trying to show you there's some assistance we're going to have at the very end. What's the two things he said don't be misinformed about? Number one, the coming of the Lord. Number two, gifts of the Spirit. Because just before the coming of the Lord, the church will have an outflow mentality. That we've had 40 years of gimme, gimme, gimme power, gimme power, gimme power, gimme word, gimme power, gimme word. And what do we do with it? Come on, we have so much in us that we should be walking on the water. I'm talking about myself too. I've heard enough messages. I should be healing cars. You got trouble with transmission? No problem. I mean, it should be out of control. What's going on, you know? You need a turbocharger? Watch this. So this present side is really cool. So he says here, don't be misinformed. And one year, I guess it was 1970, we went up to the Grand Tetons. Well, it was cool to go up there. Jackson Hole, just beautiful. Got up there, and me and my sisters are going to go ride the rapids. I like to do crazy stuff. Now, I've kind of calmed down since then, but we're going to go do the rapids, me and my two sisters. So we get there to do the rapids, the big van's pulling the big boat, you know. And as we're driving down there to get to where we're going to stop, you know, the guy's talking. He goes, yeah, we had a guy die last week, drown. I said, whoa, hold on. I'm 8 years old. I said, you had a guy drown last week? I said, who took his place? Are you him? So I want to know if this guy was a rookie. Is he new? I said, because I didn't want my guide to go, I've never been down the river, man. No, I want my guide to know where every bend is in the river so he anticipates what's coming.
Come on now.
You know what he said? We got there to where we landed, got ready to put the boat in, and he's giving us all this instruction. He said, we're going to get to a place called Lunch Counter, and I'm going to want all of you guys to get on your knees. And I raised my hand. My sister's going to kill me. I raised my hand. I said, is that to pray or for the boat to be more stable? He said, a little of both. Well, I didn't like that. I didn't like that at all because he just told me somebody drowned the week before. I want my guide to know everything that's coming before it comes. He's saying here, you can get to where you're not misinformed about the Holy Ghost. You know which direction the service is going to go. You know probably what's going to be in operation because you're accustomed to what he does. He heals people and blesses people and helps people. That's what he loves to do. He's not there to rebuke people. Very, very few times you're ever going to see the Lord rebuke anybody. He just doesn't need to. They feel bad enough on their own. They don't need a rebuke. Am I in the right room? All right, go down to verse 4. Hang with me just a little bit more. Hang with me. Let's go into this. Verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but it's the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit, watch this, is given to every prophet to profit with all. Every man. Didn't say prophet. He said it's given to every man, the prophet with all. So he's saying here the word manifestation is the Greek word phanerosis, a shining forth. So he's saying here there's a time where this presence that's in you will radiate forth, and the devil doesn't mind you finding out who you are in Christ, but when you start radiating, he don't like that. Because his original job, hang with me, he was the anointed cherub that covers. So his job was to cover the mercy seat. And think about it. You can't get any closer to God than that. You're the closest thing there ever was or ever will be to God. You're hovering over God. Yet he was discontent. So you can be in the best place ever and still not be happy. Then all of a sudden, that radiation's coming through all those stones, and he's turning around going, check that out. I'm cool. No, it's not it's not him, it's what's coming through those stones. It's God. So we know iniquity was found in him. So he doesn't mind you getting a hold of the word. Get all you want, but when you start having it radiate, you're taking his old job. The radiation of the Spirit, the shining forth of the Spirit, is given to every man to bring profit with all. Now, there's a few verses we're going to get to that makes this really easy here, and we'll get there in just a minute. How many glad you came tonight? How many glad you're here, not in jail? All right, praise God. So let's go. I want to break this down here just for a few minutes because I want to get into what we're going to see. Because they asked Brother Hagin, they said, we're praying for the gifts to be in operation. We're standing for the gifts to be in operation. He goes, how much do you preach on it? He goes, well, we really don't. He said, you'll have what you preach on. Okay, verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of knowledge, to another word of knowledge, to another faith or special faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues. So what's this to another? He's showing you it's going to be spread out through the body. It's not going to be one person operating in all of it. He'll have it go out through all the entire body so there's not attention brought to one man. So he does that, and then he says in verse 11, but all these worketh that one and self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So you can't manipulate God and say, now you operate these gifts, but you can put yourself in a position to where you know how he functions, so you're ready all the time. And really, if the Holy Spirit's not moving somewhere, he's probably not there. Start the car, I'll be right there. Come on, amen. Because if he's there, he wants to love people and help them and strengthen them and love on them. But now this is super, 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 super important. Never is there a time in the Bible where God breaks things up, harvesting tools, to where you can understand it. You got three power gifts, what do? Demonstrate something. Three vocal gifts, what do? Say something. Three revelation gifts, what do? Reveal something. God's still trying to reveal things, trying to say things, and trying to do things. And where would be the biggest place he'd do that? Right before the coming of the Lord. So you're the team. You're the team that's the carrier of all this. Yeah. I bet 150 years ago, they didn't go, okay, now every one of you got to know all these gifts of the Spirit because you're going to operate in it. Yeah, I got to back up because this is so good. I want you to hear this, and I got to get some special faith. I was preaching in Tucson, Arizona, Bruce Brock's church. His mom played the organ for William Branham. If you want to see what William Branham is, pull him up on the internet and watch him operate. Amazing. So I was there one year, 1990. And I was talking about God's going to show people reality TV. So I got up, and there's 2,000 people there. I said, guess what's coming, reality TV. God's going to show people reality. He's raised from the dead. So I said, what's the most popular reality TV show? And this man yells out, Baywatch. I said, Baywatch is not reality TV. And so everybody laughed, you know. So I started talking about Brother Shambach, started talking about Brother Allen, A. Allen. Brother Shambach worked for Brother Allen. If you ever saw Brother Shambach, he would introduce Brother Allen. Folks, I tell you, every single one of you know the sound of the word tonight. You'll be in the big tent tonight. The radiation of God will happen. Every single woman over 40 will be healed. Every single woman under 40 will be, I mean, they were like showtime, go time. And this group that was doing my book, they said, we want you to be more zippy like that. I said, you want me to what? And that's what they wanted me to do. They said, have you seen A.A. Allen when he's introducing, Shambach's introducing? I said, yeah, I've seen him do that. I'm not going to do that. So Brother Shambach was there in that crusade there in Alabama, and there was a woman who had a baby, had no arms, no legs, no eyes, had a hole for her nose, a little hole for her mouth, no eyes. And she'd been hammering Brother Shambach and said, will you get Brother Allen to pray for my baby? And he said, well, if your card's not called, I'll make sure he gets to him. So I want you to get this story because I got somebody I want to get to. But all of a sudden, Brother Allen's preaching along and many things to the story, but I won't go into all of them. He's preached along. Said, wait a minute, I'm not here. I'm on the Tennessee-Alabama border. Yeah. He said, I'm in an OB ward in Tennessee. They said, the baby can't live. He said, but it is alive. It's here tonight, but it's deformed. And boy, Shambach, that's that lady that's been hammering me all week. So they went and got the baby, and Brother Shambach said, because I did a couple meetings with him, to tell me the whole story. He said, went and got the baby. He said, I normally close my eyes when I pray, but I wasn't going to miss that miracle. He said, it sounded like cordwood snapping, snap, snap, snap. Little arms grew out on that baby. Little legs grew out. Swirls came on where its eyes were. It got eyes right there. 10,000 people are screaming because God just remade this little baby. All of a sudden, everybody quit looking at the baby, looked over at the stretcher section, 300 people instantly healed. Every one of them come out of the stretchers. I mean, that's pretty radical. They quit looking at the baby. We looked at the stretchers, then all of a sudden everybody turned around. There was a busload of blind people that were late, midway through the meeting. They couldn't find the tent. They came walking in the back door. Every single one of them got their sight. And see, we haven't seen that kind of stuff. But you know what? In that meeting in Tucson, this guy walks up to me. This takes a long time to get to this. He walks up to me. He says, hey, I'm A.A. Allen's son. I said, well, nice to meet you. I'm Billy Graham. You know, I'm used to people messing with me. And he goes, what? I said, he said, no, I'm A.A. Allen's son. I forgot that A.A. Allen had moved to Tucson, Miracle Valley. And he said, those miracles were great for my dad's day. He said, but I see a day where believers are functioning just like my dad did. That's why we've got all these messages in us, because God's going to require all of you to do this. I could have screamed that, and I probably should, because my daughter goes, Dad, is it necessary to scream like that? Yes. Here comes some verses that will set you free, and then we're going to get to special faith. Verse 12, for as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Now look at this. From verse 12 to verse 27, guess what he talks about? The parts of the body that we don't think are worthy of operating in special faith and working in miracles. So in other words, here God takes those parts that we don't see and says they're more important than the ones we do see. Like my aorta right now. My aortic arch is really working, man. It's got blood going this way, blood going to my lungs, blood going... It's going back and forth, but you don't see that. It's way more important than my ear, because I can live without my ear, but I can't live without my aortic arch. He's saying here, we esteem honor on these things that we can see, when the things we can't see need to be functioning in this more than the people we do see. See the difference? Because we say, well, I'm not a prophet, I can't do that. No, it's not that. Watch how he even says it. Look at verse 27. He's going to say it verbatim to this. Look at verse 27. Verse 27, he says, now you are the body of Christ, members in particular, and God set some of the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, then teachers, miracles, gifts of healings. Then he says in verse 29, are all apostles? Of course not. But that doesn't mean you're off the hook. Are all prophets? Of course not. But that doesn't mean you're off the hook. You got to function in it more than they do.
Come on.
Start the car, I'll be right there. No, he gives us these verses so that you intensify your walk. Your walk goes from being, Lord's coming back. Praise the Lord, the Lord's coming back. It goes from that to you're on a mission.
Come on now.
Can you imagine Jesus walking into town? Good to be in town. No, he's on a mission. Rise, take up your bed and walk. You're on a mission. Told the Pharisees, you can tell what the weather's going to be, but you don't know your hour of visitation. Then he took a whip and ran him out of the temple. Little Indiana Jones. How cool is that? So he attributes all this to knowing whatever part you are on the body. My friends call me the hangnail. I got to be ready. I got to be more paying attention than anybody else because I'm a hangnail, but I better hustle up. All right, so that's supernaturally a lot said in that. Supernaturally. But go down to the last verse of this chapter, and then we're getting to what I'm going to preach on tonight. It just takes me a little while. Last verse. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. And I've taught this many times here. He tells you the last verse to crave it. How do you have more of this in operation? Crave it. You're not casual about it. You crave it. Now, I'm that way about Diet Coke. I'm a freak about Diet Coke. It's the breakfast of champions. Okay? And to the point that I remember flying overseas one time, went to France. I was preaching in Paris, and I went out and got a Coke Zero, and it was like $5. Went out and got another Coke Zero. It was like $5. Went out and got another Coke Zero. I told Colleen, I said, I think we spent $150 a day on Coke Zero. We got to go to a discount store. I got to have it, man. I'm addicted. Now, don't look at me so holy. You're that way with coffee in the morning. Come on. Some of you can't even be spoken to until you had your coffee. Like, don't talk. Don't say a word to me until I get coffee. Why? Your flesh has gotten used to it. Your flesh gets used to that coffee, man. It wants that pickup. Well, my flesh likes that Diet Coke. I was preaching in the Ukraine, and I was staying in a house where the power went out. I had two Diet Cokes I found for the entire trip. I set them in that refrigerator, and when the power shut off, I set them out on the patio so they'd stay cold. I came out the next morning. They'd frozen and exploded. I wept openly right there on the patio. Ah! I'm not kidding. I have to have it. It's serious. I mean, it's like, you know. He's saying here, get to where you're so accustomed to it, the Holy Spirit using you, that you're irritable if he's not. Wigglesworth would go out on the edge of town and go, I haven't got anybody saved yet. I'm not going to bed till I get somebody saved. And the Lord would go join yourself to that chariot over there, and he'd lead somebody to the Lord because he was accustomed to it. Get so accustomed to the Lord using you that you're irritable if he's not. All right, now let's get to what I'm going to preach on right now. It's just taking me a while. We can do this in the next few minutes. Everybody got a few minutes? It's not too long? We all right?
Man, I'm in the wildest mood. It's so wild. We'll see what happens. And if there was a Harley, I'd ride around the church on the inside of the church. It's kind of sad. Okay, go back to 1 Corinthians 12, and we're going to land on one thing for about 15 minutes or so. Maybe shorter, longer, we'll know. Verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit. All right, I want to break that one open because I think this is going to be the main one that will be in operation. Special faith, not ordinary faith. Okay, there's three kinds of faith we talk about in the Bible. Number one is your saving faith. It comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. What is that for? Primarily for you. Whatsoever things you desire. When you pray, you believe that you receive and you'll have. Not for your neighbor, not for your friend. You can get them to agree with you, but the prayer of faith is for you. You go, I tried to pray for this other person. Well, that other person may not want you to pray for them. In other words, the prayer of faith won't work if they won't agree with you. I've been pushed into hospitals, and the second I walked in there, I go, you don't want me in here. You don't even want me to pray for you. No way I don't want you to pray for me. Well, it's kind of hard to make that work if they say there's no way I want you to pray for me. But all of a sudden, see, that gives all of a sudden to God the opportunity, it gives to the Spirit. All of a sudden, you'll see the present side kick in because of His mercy. But let's look at special faith for a minute. Number one, you got your ordinary saving faith. Number two, you got the fruit of faith, which is called faithfulness. Then you have this gift that's in operation that, watch, when it comes on you, you believe God in such a way that He honors your word as His very own and miraculously brings it to pass. It's all of a sudden you're authorized in someone else's life that you don't have. In other words, you're knowing for them. Now hang with me. Special faith, it's a special knowing for someone else. If you have to ask if it's on you, it's not on you. It's not special wondering. Now, where was I saying today that church? What's that country? Albania. There's a friend of mine that's preaching over there, and that was the last country to get the gospel before Jesus comes to Albania. And they'd been going to the Bible school, and the guy had been preaching on special faith, saying, if you have to ask if it's on you, it's not on you. It's not special faith. It's not special wondering. It's a knowing. A carrier and deliverer of miracles. So this is 3 months ago in Albania. There was a little girl about 5 or 6 years old. She was out in the field. This big rig fell over. That was one of those greater things for harvest. Crushed her, killed her right there. And that student that was in that Rhema class, he said they'd been talking about that. He said, now, if I have to ask, it's not on me. He said, I didn't have to ask. I knew it was on me. He walked over there and raised that little girl from the dead. And what he remembered was, if I have to ask, it's not on me. Because if it's on you, you will act. You'll know. So I've had that where I've been thrown into situations where people had gone home to be with the Lord, and I'm thinking right there, Lord, you ready for me to raise him up? And it's not there. And then the wife comes in and goes, don't touch him. He wanted to go home to be with the Lord. So God's not going to violate her authority and violate his authority. But when special faith is in operation, you find yourself decreeing with a boldness and with a faith that goes beyond yours. Wigglesworth used to talk about he would come to the end of his faith, and all of a sudden a faith from heaven would come on him, and he'd find him decreeing. It's just like a sport coat. I can tell when I have this coat on, when I have the coat off. It's not weird. You can feel it. I was in a meeting one time with Mark Hankins. We're in Memphis, Tennessee, and I was preaching one night, and there was a little 15, 16-year-old girl over here. I said, there's somebody here who got arthritis, and she kind of waved her hand like that. I walked toward her, and she goes, no, I don't want you to pray for me. And I normally wouldn't pray for someone that doesn't want me to pray for them, but all of a sudden I felt that coat come on me. Ooh, here we go. I know what this is. This is special faith. I said, sis, you can get mad at God tonight. You can curse God. I don't care. You're getting healed. And she kind of looked at me like I was crazy. Now, that's that special faith. Because normally I'd say, glad you're here. Thanks for hearing the word. Let's stand on the word. Let's get arthritis driven out of your body because of the name of Jesus. That's the normal way, right? Right? But that came on me, and I said, I don't care what you do. You're getting healed whether you like it or not. She kind of blew me off. I had a word of knowledge that a woman was in a car wreck. This lady came down in a walker. She's right here. That church had kind of an amphitheater like you do, how your church goes up like that. She came over there. I walked over, and the Lord said, tell her to take off running, she'll be healed. I said, lady, now see, I felt it on me. I said, lady, take off running, you watch, she'll be healed. She looked at me. She tried to point down to her walker. She was going like, I can see the walker. And then I felt that come on me. Go! I mean, it will not be denied. Now, that's not my personality. I say, I'm glad you came, ma'am. Let's pray for you. Let's get your neck healed. Let's get your back healed. Not take off running. Then I scream at her, go. She starts taking her walker. She's like, oh, God, this guy's crazy. So she starts taking her walker. She got right up to the top. When she got right up to the top, the little girl over here starts screaming, it's going all over me. It's going all over me. It's going all over me. I said, I told you were healed a while ago. Walk back from her. This lady has taken the brace off of her back underneath her dress, carried the brace with her walker, stood right here, held them both up screaming. Now see, it wasn't her faith because she goes, I can't believe it. Wasn't my faith because I'm like, I'm not going to tell some elderly lady on a walker to take off running. I'm just not.
So whose faith is that? A special faith. So that came on me to inject that to deliver a miracle for them. So it you know it when it's on you. I was in Howard Cameron's church in South Texas one time years ago, 1992. And you know me, I'm crazy. There were some guys from the jail that were on furlough, and they were like confronting me like, and I thought, well, if you're going to confront me with unbelief, I'm going to confront you with a lot of belief. So this didn't work very well. I went over to where they were. Thank God there was a guard on the end, and I just kind of got in their face. I'm trying to get them with me, and all it does is get them mad. You could feel it if I could get out and kill that little short guy from Tulsa. And they're standing right there. So I'm trying in the flesh to get them with me, and they don't like it. Well, I kept preaching, come to the end of the service. I had a vision. I saw a woman in a beige LTD Ford, word of knowledge. I see that car get teed. I see her fly across the car. I see her face hit the windshield, the side window. But I knew that she hurt her shoulder. I said, come down here, the Lord will heal you. This lady came walking down. You could see the scabs where they were healed up, where she went through the side window. But I guess her shoulder was still messed up. We were in an old Piggly Wiggly grocery store. So there were poles down front. And so the Lord said, tell her to put her arm up on one of the poles. And boy, here it comes. I felt it come on me. Oh, here we go. Went just like this. And I went like this. Went, God, pow, be healed, Jesus' name. Those prisoners didn't like my preaching. I went to slugging that lady, man. You talk about freaking out. The lady starts screaming. Ah! I thought, oh, God, I broke her shoulder. She goes, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. Howard Cameron is the pastor's name. Came walking up. He goes, I was in the hospital room. Doctor said we're going to rebuild her shoulder. While we're having a testimony service, the prisoners got out of their row, came down like this, and gave their life to the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
They made their own altar call when they saw that woman get healed. So that's what special faith will do.
Yeah.
I'll give you another one. I got about 500, but I'll give you just a couple more of them. We'll go, because I want you to see it doesn't have, that is a little bit different to hit somebody, but it doesn't have to be weird like that. It can be normal. Now, I don't know why it's like that, but it just is, seems like. I've probably had times where I've hit someone maybe 150 times, and they all got hit. Not once did they not get healed, because I don't hit people unless it's on me. I walk up and go, you're healed. Ow, that hurt. I was in Greensboro, North Carolina, and I had a word of knowledge that someone was in a car wreck. I said, you hurt your neck and your back. This lady came walking down, and boy, it came on me. I go, oh, here we go. I know what it is, this special knowing from heaven. I said, whoa, 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 whoa. How many have never seen a miracle before? Get out of your seat and come down right now. What? It's on you. That's not my personality. I'd be like, glad you came tonight. We're going to pray for your neck, pray for your back, and you receive your healing. Not who's never seen a miracle? Come down right now. I'm thinking, oh, Jesus. This whole group gathers around that lady. Lord told me to hit her on the back of the head. I went, pow. She goes, wow. She goes, instantly healed right there. I told the group right there, I said, there you go. Didn't know that one of the ladies that had come down was a federal prosecuting attorney. And her husband was an attorney. She had just converted from Islam. She was from Pakistan. She said, Christianity has power. I'd be preaching in Ohio, that couple's right there. Preaching in California, that couple's right there. Galveston, that couple's right there. They followed me all over the country for several years because she was so amazed that Christianity had power. So that special faith got them into doing what they're called to do. Let me give you a couple more, then I want to close. Because there's a certain thing to this that really is a key to it, because we're on the authorization and presence, we're on the presence side. Man, it's amazing that it's mercy. Gets challenged. That sometimes people go, this is just crazy, all this weird stuff. No, it's not weird, it's just special faith. It's just bolder faith than your own faith. I'll give you a couple more. One of the ones was pretty cool. I was in Charleston, Illinois, Ross Roberts' hometown, and he had a cool church there, and he left the church and went on the road, and we were there doing meetings like Mark and Patsy and Willie George and all these people that he's made me go preach in these because I didn't want to be in the ministry. I mean, he's making me preach. So one of the services, I wasn't full-time in the ministry. I was ushering in a church back in Tulsa, and I said, okay, I'll come. But these guys, I don't need to preach. Are you crazy? So, of course, one of the times I'm preaching, I had a word of knowledge that a woman had a growth on her breast. I said, come down here, the Lord will heal you. This lady comes walking down like this. Ross is holding the microphone for me like this because I'm standing here. She comes walking up, and the Lord said, tell her to go to the bathroom and pour water on that growth, and it'll disappear right in front of her eyes. And as I said that, I thought, oh, my God, I've lost my mind. She looked at me like a frog in a West Texas hailstorm. She went like this. She goes, she blinked like this, like, what? I said, lady, you take a lady with you to witness it. You pour water on that growth, it'll disappear. And she walks up like this, takes off to go back like that. Ross is holding the microphone for me like this beside my head. And I'm standing like this, and he goes, there goes the budget for the meeting right there. He's crazy. The lady, his name is Ramona. She was the head prayer for that church. She came walking through the back door. She waved her hand. She said, I poured water on that growth and it disappeared right in front of my
eyes.
Thank
you, Jesus.
So that's an unusual way, but the reason why we should tell stories about it is so we'll get used to it. I'll give you one more. I was praying for a friend of mine in the ministry. I got some others about healing I want to do, but we're 7:15. I was praying for this buddy of mine going through a test and a trial, you know. So I'm gonna pray the word. I'm in this hotel room up by Detroit. I started commanding the word over him. Just, you know, he'll hearken on the voice of the Lord. Stranger's voice he will not follow. And he'll finish his course with joy. Blah blah blah. I'm praying in English the things that I know to pray over this guy. Praying the word. Can't go wrong praying the word. All of a sudden, man, I felt this knowing come on me, and I began to decree for this guy. Like, oh, here we go. This is not my faith. I mean, I was commanding things for this guy. Command, bam, I mean, just strong. And so I stopped, looked up. All of a sudden, an angel comes and stands right there at the foot of my bed. Scared me so bad. I almost took off running, but I thought, he goes, I've been sent from the throne of God. He delivers a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom. Answered the prayer I just prayed for that friend of mine. I'm like, this is wild. He disappears. I couldn't even sleep that night. I was just like, I told that friend of mine what the angel said. He got mad. He goes, how come the angel didn't appear to me? I said, I don't know. I'm praying for you, and the angel stands right there. Are you crazy? I said, I didn't ask for the angel to come stand right there. So about 2 months later, Willie George, pastor in Tulsa, he goes, hey, Joe, I had a dream about a friend of yours in the ministry. I go, really? What was it? Verbatim, word for word, what the angel said in that hotel room. I'm like, wow. Saw Keith Moore walk up to that minister, dude, just like this. Held his hands out like this, verbatim, what that angel said in the hotel room. So I get it by vision. Willie gets it by dream. Keith gets it by revelation. See, there's differences of administrations. The whole point is God's trying to help that preacher. Trying to help that preacher. Come to find out, I had several different preachers call me and say, what happened with the deal with that angel? I told him, he goes, well, the guy goes, I told that preacher that 15 or 20 times. Come to find out, every person in the ministry almost had told those guys the same thing to help them. I'm God's mercy is absolutely beyond amazing to have everybody and their grandmother say the same thing to you. I think after a while, just give me a sign. A sign? How many signs do you need? Come on, you know what I mean? Like, what?
Right.
So this is going to come on us. So I told the Lord, this is what he said to me. I'm getting all this to get to right here. I said, man, I like that special faith. Woo, that's radical. And you know what he said? If you'd be bolder in your ordinary walk, I could use you more in that gift. I said, I'm a word guy. Give me scripture and verse. Took me to Acts 3. Took me to Acts 9. Who was using special faith? Matthew? Luke? Uh-uh. Peter. What was Peter known for? Reckless, wild, whatever. So God's not looking for your perfection. He's looking for your boldness. So that boldness is a platform for special faith. Because it gets you accustomed to how God thinks. He doesn't think weakness. I felt it come on me the other night in Shreveport when I was praying for this one lady. I'll never forget it. Just 4 or 5 days ago. I'm praying for her. There's all these people in the prayer line, like 200 or 300 people. And I got in front of her and I go, oh, here we go. I knew it didn't matter what's wrong with her. She didn't tell me what's wrong with her yet. I said, I don't care. I know it's done right now. She started telling me, and I grabbed her by the arms and said, come over here. And I pulled her up toward the front. She goes, oh, my God. And the look on her face when it left is like, man, this is so cool. But we're hearing stories because God's going to use you.
Right.
It doesn't have to be Elvis. Amen. It can be laid back. I don't know, maybe we should get some robes and some ashes. I don't know. Walk on whatever it takes, right? Praise the Lord. So see, the hand of the Lord will come on you. And you have the authority of God, the authority of the name of Jesus. You have the authority of the Son of God. He said, if I cast out devils with my finger, that shows you who I am. You have that right now. And then you mix this with all this presence. I mean, it's overboard how much presence you have. You know, the Lord showed me, you know, with my grandkids, I love cars and all that, so I buy these little cars for the grandkids so I can play with them. So I'm out there with, you know, those little toys, you know, and they got little batteries in there. But it's annoying that you start playing with them for 5 minutes and the batteries run out. Because it's drawing so much power, And this is how the Lord said to me. He said, this is something that you could think about. You got this little battery-powered car, and it's really cool how it operates. And then all of a sudden, you got 10 semis pull up that are loaded with battery. 10 semi-trucks pull up with batteries. And that's going to be what you're going to run that little car with. And you've been doing it with 2 batteries, and now you've got 10 semis full of batteries. That's what's going to be running that thing. He said, that'll give you some kind of an equivalent of what you're carrying compared to what the church thinks it's carrying. Excessively more than what you need. Now you go to grab the trigger on that car, you go, shoot off and land in Mississippi, man. Come on. All right, are we ready for special faith, working of miracles and gifts of healing?
Yes.
Amen. Praise God. Who's got the trouble in your shoulder? I might have one more story, but I don't think so. The trouble in your shoulders right around your neck. Almost looks like an ox. You know how you carry it on his neck like that? Who's got that trouble? Raise your hand up. You got some kind of damage there like that. And there's another person here. You have weakness in your bones. Man, I don't know what that is, but he'll heal your bones. Just wave your hand at me. I don't want to miss you. I really want to tell this other story, and I'll get there. What happened to your, which one were you, bones or the neck? Did it happen over time or just something, an accident? How did it happen?
My dog pulled me over a curb.
Your dog pulled you over a curb?
Landed flat.
Oh, okay.
And my arm was under me.
Let's get it fixed. I can't see the time. Let's see. 7:22. You're going to get it right now. Here, come over here with me. We'll do a little different. We'll do a little bit different. Now, I'm not going to hurt you or hit you or anything. I'm just going to pray for you. I did one in here. Just have a seat on the steps.
And then I got to get up.
All right, well, that's good. It's because no big deal when you're healed. What it is, I'm doing this so you can see the look on her face. And this is not special faith. I don't sense any special faith involved. Whoo! Oh, man. I had a guy in a truck wreck, and we were in Mattoon, Illinois, and it had a stage was like that. The Lord told me to have him lay down on his stomach. I've never done that before in my life. He lay down on his stomach, and the Lord said, jump off the stage on his back. I jumped off the stage on his back. He goes, and instantly healed. The guy comes to the meetings here in Effingham. I said, tell him what happened to you. He goes, you jumped off the platform and landed on my back. I said, well, what happened? He goes, I got healed. Amen. So let me pray. So your shoulder and your neck kind of, your Father, thank you for taking care of our sister. She comes to a church where you get to operate, Lord, and you get to manifest what Jesus did 2,000 years. That's the power of God right there. Father, thank you for restoration of what was damaged in her tendons. Who in these sockets? We thank you that she's the healed of the Lord. We're so appreciative, Jesus, that you were beaten so she wouldn't have to have this. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Now hop up. Don't see if you're healed. See that you are healed. Come on. He can help you. Now check it out. Kind of move your arm around. Move your back around. See how you're doing. You okay? Amen. Amen. He wants to fix you up. Praise God. Amen. Any pain when doing that?
No.
Praise God. Okay. Have a great night. Good to see you. Bless you. Thanks for coming. What was the other one? Was a deterioration of your bones. I actually thought it was for your jaw, but I could miss it by a mile. Who's got the deterioration of your bone in your jaw? And I could miss it so fast. I'm just trying to make sure I don't miss a miracle. I'm just going to tell you this. We could be in a church service like this, and you could stay an hour, and God may call out 50 to 75 things. It's been a long time since I've done that many because people don't have no time. Where everyone's so time crunched, you know, it's like, and not you, I'm just saying, even me, I'm probably way more than you guys are. So where's the person with the bones in your jaw? I'm just saying I don't want to miss God. I want to pray for you. I wanted you guys to see the look on their faces. Bones in the jaw, jawbone. All right, I'll practice my swing while we wait for that person. Here we go. Hallelujah. Let's thank him for a minute. He's so kind to us. Lord, we thank you. We magnify you. We glorify you. Thank you for your goodness and your kindness. We magnify your kindness tonight, Lord. It's so kind that you would get beaten for us. So we worship you and honor you and magnify you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There's somebody here, you got damage in it. I don't know if it's a nerve or what it is, but like between your knee and your thigh here, right in there, you got some kind of damage on that nerve. I don't know what the symptoms are, but that's what he said. Who's got that? Real quick.
Because the other things he wants to do, but if we won't get the ones we want, he'll wait. Let's don't wait. Let's get it. And I could miss it. Dear God, I could miss it. But I can't even think like that. My brain doesn't even think. Your leg with a nerve trouble right there. And another person here, you have trouble with your colon. It's irritable bowel syndrome. Who's got that? Let's pray for you. Now, this is how crazy this is. I'm in Pittsburgh, and the Lord says hemorrhoids. I said, I'm not calling that out. Mark Motors Church, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, hemorrhoids. I said, Lord, I ain't calling that out. And it's the lady that started the church, Carol Namitis. I'll say her name because you don't know her. She's probably about 80 now. And the Lord told her, she had been drinking all that chalk to go in and have hemorrhoids taken off, you know. And she said, Joe's going to call that out. And you can either come down and get healed or you can go get your surgery. Do it either way you want to do it. So when I called that out, she came walking down. She's gone with me to a lot of other meetings. She goes, don't tell that story in front of this whole church. She's healed, didn't have to go have her surgery. But the Lord said, you can do it however you want to do it. So I could tell you story after story. It was the craziest thing in the world. I'll give you one from Glenwood Springs, Colorado. I had a word on odds that a man bruised his male parts. I said, I'm not calling that out, Lord. He goes, well, you're a chicken. I said, okay, there's a man here, you bruised your male parts, and then come on down and get healed. And so nobody came down, so I sat down. It's in Glenwood Springs, Colorado. I said, well, I'm not leaving. That's what I do for a living. So I hung out like this. The pastor stood up. He had some surgery not to have any more children. I said, no, that's not it. How embarrassing is that to show the whole church that you bruised yourself? And so I said, no, that's not it. And right then I saw a guy on a horse come in like this, and there was a big thicket, and there was a creek right there. And that horse dove down when he saw that water, and that man flew right off his saddle. His name is Rusty. He's sitting way in the back. When I told that, he came walking down and prayed for him. And I've been back to that church 25 times. And he goes, man, don't tell that story out loud, man. Quit telling that story. I saw a woman get poked in the eye with a fork one time. I saw a woman got fly fishing, catch the hook in her eye. I mean, weird words of knowledge, just crazy. That's why I'm waiting for the jaw one and the nerve one and the irritable bowel syndrome. I could miss it by miles. I don't care. But you know what? The Lord's not going to call me chicken. I'm going to do whatever he said. I mean, jumping off that stage, land on that guy's back. He's gone home with the Lord now. But his wife goes, you remember jumping off the stage? Yes, I remember jumping off the stage. Are you kidding me? Amen. Let's thank him one more time, and then we'll go. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your mercy and your kindness. So kind of you to help us, Lord, and bless us. We worship you and magnify you and honor you. Thank you for your goodness and your kindness. Which one were you, sis?
The irritable bowel.
Okay. Devil's a liar, pants on fire. Amen. Mm-hmm. Pastor David, would you come down here? She's going to hit you. If you're not healed, he's a false prophet. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not doing that. I'm just messing with you. See, I'm showing you. We can have a fun and doesn't offend the Holy Spirit. It's really hard to grieve him. He's pretty tough. So we'll just put your hand on her tummy. And we'll pray. Father, thank you for taking care of our sister. Jesus, your back was beaten so she wouldn't have to have that. That's the power of God right there. Wow. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now you tension in her colon, you be gone from her right now. Peace in her digestive tract right now in Jesus' name. Whew, wow, glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. That's so sweet of you. Thank you to deliver what you provided for. Amen. You watch. It's 7:30. You got it. Have a great night. We'll see you next time. Where's the nerve person? The nerve, and the bone. And then we'll go. Praise the Lord. Somebody had whiplash. I got some things I'm going to call out now just because I'm in a hurry. I'm just going to call them out. You don't even have to come down because we'll dismiss in a minute. Whiplash. Wow. Oh, man, there's another one about your blood. I don't know if it's platelets. I don't know what it is, but your blood's being healed. Your blood's been healed right now. Just take it. I don't know what it is. Wow. The other thing is you got damage in the back of your Achilles tendon, kind of right where it goes up into your foot. You watch. He's healing you right now. There's another person with whiplash. Not just one. There's two. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's thank him, and then we'll go. Lord, we love you. We honor you. Thank you for taking care of their blood. Thank you for taking care of the damage in their neck. You're so kind, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you that lungs are being healed right now in Jesus' name.
amen, exposure to chemicals being restored right now in Jesus' name. Strength for their bodies. I thank you for that, Father. Thank you for that. Glory to God. And there's somebody here, you're married, you want to have kids. You watch. What 7:31? You're gonna have a baby. So don't lose heart. Amen. He'll help you. The devil's a liar. The devil's told you you'll never be able to have kids. He's a liar. I've never had the devil go, you have such a wonderful life. He just doesn't do that. He's a liar. Amen. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Thank you for that, Father. Someone's tear ducts damaged too. Plumbing in your eye. Wow. Thank you guys for coming tonight. He's so good. So get ready for special faith. Get ready for a knowing. Authority in someone else's life. It's a knowing on you, not a wondering. So get ready for it. I believe we'll see stuff on TV. We'll see stuff demonstrated by reality TV and go, they were at the grocery store and there were a couple people in a car wreck. They ran out there and next thing you know, they're throwing them up against the wall. Be healed in Jesus' name. All kinds of really, really cool things are going to happen. That vision Brother Hagin had, he was up in Longmont, Colorado. He said there'll be a man working miracles on live TV in Dallas, Texas. He said cameras will be trained upon him and he'll be caught up and translated to Los Angeles, California. And he'll be in a studio working miracles on live TV. He said this is what you'll see right before the coming of the Lord. So there'll be a little while where there's some really radical stuff going on. So God will get their attention and he raised you up to handle the harvest. Amen. You got one of those problems? 20 years ago.
Problems.
Okay.
It's made my left arm go numb.
Yep.
And I was praying about it.
Yeah, ago. Wow, praying about a couple weeks ago. His left arm goes numb because of whiplash a long time ago. Let's pray, man. I like that BMW you got there. That's pretty cool.